Well, praise God. Good morning. I hope you got revived this morning through praise and worship. Hope your joy is in a new level or a higher level than it was before you came in. Because the joy of the Lord surely is our strength. In this dispensation of time, we all know the enemy's trying to steal our joy. And from every avenue, he doesn't care how he comes in. As long as he comes in and he steals. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you that the joy of the Lord is our strength and that you are with us this morning. And Father God, I'm asking you that you meet every heart's desire here this morning. Whatever they had need of when they came, Father God, let it be met before they leave. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the abundance of your love this morning. We thank you for the Godhead. Your angelic host. The Father, open up the spiritual ears this morning so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, let the hearts expand to receive everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What God is talking about this morning is moving forward. There's too many people in the body of Christ. They take one step forward and two steps backwards. And God wants us to go on the forward momentum and stay there and quit going back or quit just standing still or quit looking to the right and to the left, but just keep going forward. I know that we're all tired, sort of tired of hearing the same thing over and over and over again, but God is on the throne, and if he says it, it's going to come to pass. Maybe not in your time frame, but it will come to pass in God's time frame. And God is about his business, and he is doing a perfect work among his people. And this morning, I just want each one of you to be encouraged in the Lord and to know that the suddenlies are on the way. And suddenly, God's just going to change everything in an instant. And I know that God's word tells us to do not grow weary in well-doing. And I know that many in the body of Christ have grown weary, not just in well-doing, but in every area, because it just seems like it's an unending battle, and it is an unending battle. But if we can get the joy of the Lord down inside of us and keep it there, the enemy can't win any battle. I never thought I'd ever live to see the day when there's so much turmoil in the world and in families, you know, and everything, this bad things are going on. I just never thought, you know, that I would ever see this in my lifetime, but here it is. We're seeing it and we're living it. And so we have to really trust God with everything in us. Amen. Father, I just thank you. Whatever it is, God, you're wanting to do right now, we just give you full permission, Father God. Have your way here this morning. If my people could see what's down the road for them, they would do one or two things. They would either rejoice or scream. And I tell you, my children, there's many things before you. I need you to stay calm in my presence, and I need you to hold my hand continually, and I need you to know that without a shadow of a doubt that I am with you in every second of your life. I am the author and finisher of your life. I know exactly what you are going to go through, exactly when you're going to go through it, and exactly how long it's going to take for you to get through it. So I want you to be calm in my presence. I want you to have my perfect peace, my perfect understanding, and know that I am a God that understands all things. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. One man said, if we always do what we've always done, we will always be what we've always been. Read that again. If we always do what we've always done, will always be what we've always been. You know, God is asking us to do strange and different things. He's asking us to do things that we never thought we would ever be asked to do. And what God is doing is he's stretching us. He's stretching us so that we can do the greater things that he's calling us forth to do. So don't grow weary in the stretching either. We just have to hang on, hold on for dear life, and know that God is in full and total complete control. Does the baby have to go up to the nursery? Our this message deals with taking the next step forward in pursuit of God's plan for our lives. And this is what God spoke. Where are my Joshuas? Where are my Calebs? Where are my Gideons? Where are my Moses? I have been calling each of you from the backside of the desert, but you were still in hiding when I went to bring you to the forefront. God says backstage is over. It is now upfront and intimate with your Maker. It is time for restoration of all things. It is time for you to forsake all and pick up your cross daily and follow me, the living God Almighty. You know, God has told us that we won't understand what he's calling us for to do, but we have to step out there in faith and just do. So let's read that again now. Backstage is over. He's calling you out of the desert to the forefront. Backstage is over. It is now upfront and intimate with your Maker. It is time for restoration of all things. It is time for you to forsake all and pick up your cross daily and follow me, the living God Almighty. God said, you have had a small taste of the glory drop, but there is oh so much more that I want to give you. Why are you always okay with a little when I have so much more to give you? Are you waiting for someone else to do the greater works? Are you content with the meager little that I have given you? And John 14:12 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So God's question was, are you waiting for someone else to do the greater works? Are you content with the meager little that I have given you? And John 5:20 says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does, yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. And see, people are going to be amazed at what God is doing through you, somebody who they thought would never be anything, and what God is doing through you, they're going to be so amazed that they're going to stand in total shock of how God is using you. So God really wants you to be encouraged this morning and just come on and move forward and allow him to do through you the things that need to be done. And I'm hearing him say to cause the church to go into shock. Amen. Come on. Then God said, stand up and be counted among the worthy. Stand up and see the salvation of the Lord at work on your behalf. Why won't you stand up for my son Jesus? What is holding you back? Then Luke 21:36 says, Jesus tells us to watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. All right, what he's saying there is that Jesus tells us to watch therefore and pray always. Why? That you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, if you will follow God with all of your heart, you won't be here for all the mess that's going to go on. You will be raptured up. All right? And Exodus 14:13-14 said, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. God wants you to move forward, but he also wants you to hold your peace, because he's going to fight your battles as you move forward. Because as you move forward, you're going to meet the enemy head on. It's going to be one battle after another. Just because God told you to move on does not mean that the enemy's going to leave you alone. It's totally the opposite, because he wants to stop you at all cost. So as God led the Israelites out of Egypt, Egyptian slavery, he brought them to a tight spot. So as God is calling you forward, he's going to bring you to a tight spot. As a powerful army of Egypt approached from the rear, the Israelites saw the Red Sea in front of them and mountains to the sides. They saw no way out. All right, now I'm going to ask you this morning, how many of you are like that? You just don't see any way out. You don't see how God could possibly move and do the things he's calling you forth to do. All right, I said, as a powerful army of Egypt approached from the rear, the Israelites saw the Red Sea in front of them and mountains to the sides, and they saw no way out. But God is not limited by seemingly impossible situations. He obviously knew what he was going to do, Moses may not have known exactly what God had in mind, like we don't, but he believed, but Moses believed what God said and faithfully passed on God's encouraging message. When God is on our side, we do not need to fear or fret. God intended to fight their battles for them. They did not need to fight against a well-armed Egyptian army, which was possibly the greatest army on earth at the time. It was Israel's own faithlessness that later led to God letting them fight their own battles. Now let's stop there. It was Israel's faithlessness that later led to God letting them fight their own battles. When God called me into ministry, I didn't know how to do nothing. All right? And I said, God, I don't know how to start a church. I don't know how to even run a church. He says, just like running a business. And I had run two businesses, but he said, but then I've heard people say, well, a church isn't a business, but when you really look at it, it really is. And God said, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to teach you all things. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do and how to do it. And every battle that came my way, yes, I had to be in the battle, but God always fought the battles for me. He never left me in there to just wander around in the darkness. So I'm telling you this morning, whatever God has called you to do, God is going to be there fighting your battles for you. And you're going to have to be like the Israelite children, just go out there by faith, even though they messed up. You go out there by faith and just do what God's calling you for to do. All right? You know, I didn't have no idea how I was going to start a church. But God opened it, and God just kept filling it, and God kept bringing his anointing, and God kept doing his miracles, and all I had to do was to be a vessel that he could work through. That's what he needs. He needs vessels of honor that he can work through in order to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish in this world. And just like with the globe, Barbara, he needed a vessel in Delaware that he could work through to accomplish what he wants to accomplish here in Delaware. And I don't know where you people live. You live in different places. But wherever you're at, God wants to do something in that place, and he needs a vessel of honor. And if he's chosen you to do that, well, then please be that vessel of honor. And just go out there by faith and do whatever God is calling you forth to do. All right? I have to say this, though. When I first opened a church, the other couple that was with me, we prayed and we asked if we should open a church right now, and God said not right now. So what we did was, because you know I got kicked out of the church, and this couple went because I got kicked out, we just thought, well, Sundays we'll have a meeting on Sundays, have our own little church. Well, this is what we did, and do you know what happened? People just started coming to the house. Every Sunday it was packed out, and you know, and even I said, God, you said not to do it yet. He said, well, we're going to do it now. So see, even though he said, don't do it yet, I had to go to church somewhere, and I had to feed this other couple. And so we just started a little meeting, and God really increased and increased and increased. God is looking at your faithfulness. How faithful are you? How faithful are you with God? All right, when God opened up the Red Sea in front of the Israelites, Moses' message and faith prodded them to step forward in faith. God fulfilled this promise as he does all of his promises. Excuse me, the Israelites all made it safely across on dry land, but their enemies were swallowed up by the enveloping sea. Doesn't matter who's coming against you, if you're your enemy, God has them in his sight, and God has taken care of them, and you have to forget about them. God said, I have already spoken this, and it shall come to pass. It is only forward now. Forward motion is where I'm at. There is no more backpedaling. Everybody in here, now you can't backpedal no more. You can't go back. You can't keep thinking about what you used to do. You have to move forward and allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Now, I'm here to tell you, you won't never know what God wants you to do. You just have to go by faith and just play it by ear and let God go ahead and move you. And as you allow God to do that, he will make sure that you are right in his perfect will. All right. Proverbs 4:25 it says, tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. So what did he tell the people? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. So God's had me to tell you this morning, go forward. Don't go backwards and don't sit still. It doesn't matter what's going on around about you. It doesn't matter how the circumstances look. If I looked at my circumstances, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I'd be saying, this isn't going to go anywhere. So you just have to trust God, have faith, and keep moving forward. Sometimes God closes doors because it's time to move forward. You hear that? Sometimes God closes doors because it's time to move forward. He knows you won't move unless your circumstances force you. All right? You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one. What does the Bible say in Job 17:9 in the Living Bible? The righteous shall move onward and forward. Those with pure hearts shall become stronger and stronger. The righteous shall move onward and forward. Those with pure hearts shall become stronger and stronger. Please take that into your spirit, man, this morning. It's time we move forward. It's time we get out of all doubt and unbelief and just have faith that God is really doing what he said he will do right now in this given dispensation. Every one of you that don't live here, you are supposed to go back where you live and you're supposed to seek God's face and move forward. And by faith, as you trust and believe God, he's going to use you to catapult those people in your area to move forward and to quit standing, sitting still. The Aglow can't sit still any longer. It sits still long enough. I've been going to Aglow meetings for years, and the Aglow, and I noticed the Aglow just start fizzling out. You know, there just less and less people came, and when you went, they really weren't excited anymore and everything. And God is trying to get the Aglow moving and working and doing the things he wants it to do. Well, wants it to do through them. Are you hearing here now? And I was just watching Sister Grace flagging. He said she still to this day does not know how important her flagging is. She does not understand the anointing that I am using in her to flow through the people. He said, but she will understand soon. So even though she thinks she knows, I don't really know what Grace thinks, but even though she might think she knows about what she's doing, there's still something much greater that God wants to do for Sister Grace, and he wants her to move forward into the unknown with the flagging and the dancing so he can bring the glory and the power that he wants to through that. Are you hearing me here? All right, now let's just, I'm just trying to get you to think about moving forward. You know, I was doing the song services, and then Brother Aaron came in, and God told me to have him do the song service, and he told me Sunday he hasn't yet found the sound. And so I told him, we haven't yet found the sound. Well, then he doesn't want me to find the sound. He wants to find the sound. But see, until he's ready, until he's moving forward, you know, he's sort of stuck in a groove. And I'll explain that to him later. But I'm just trying to show you something. He's stuck in a groove, and he isn't moving forward. So therefore, he can't find the sound. Do you understand that? And yeah, and so, you know, I put together this morning's song service because this is what God told me to do. But unless we really know what God wants us to do, we're stuck. And if you're just stuck, you have to ask God, all right, what is making me stuck? Why can't I move forward? All right. And I was telling myself the other day, I was fussing with God and I was blaming the people. He said, don't blame the people for nothing. You move forward, and you make them move forward with you. So, okay, so if you're over the Aglow, and they're not doing anything, you know, anything, and you're saying, these people got, no, God's to say, don't say these people. You move forward. You listen to God's voice. You do what God's telling you. God's telling me, you exert your authority that you have in Christ, and you cause people to move forward. We're not supposed to let people drag us down, right? We have to move forward, onward and upward. All right, let's just do another thing. Brother Adam blows the shofar. But whenever he was blowing the shofar this morning, God said he doesn't seek my face enough to find out what I really want to do as he's blowing the shofar. And he has to move. He's stuck and he has to move in his groove and he has to move forward. Are you understanding this? You know, you might think that you've attained, but you have not yet attained. I'm going to tell you right here, I have not yet attained, and I've been at this quite some time. You're always going to be learning something new. And God is not a God that sits still. God is always a God that's moving forward. All right? Where am I at? All right, then God said, there is so much at stake here, and you, as of yet, do not have the entire picture. Why don't you have the entire picture? It is because you still do not spend quality time with me. It is because the world still has a pull on your life. You get this? There is so much at stake here, and you, as of yet, do not have the entire picture. Why don't you have the entire picture? It's because you still do not spend quality time with me. It's because the world still has a pull on your life. Time has run out, church, and the next step is complete abandonment. I have a mighty works that must be accomplished, and I'm going into the highways and byways, and I'm compelling them to come into the house of the Lord. Now in Judges 5:6, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Joel, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. I just put that in there because he says going to highways and byways. Now, byways were winding or twisted roads, okay? Deep has been calling unto deep, but still you stand in shallow water. That water must be up over your head or you are no good to me. This is where you get not the 99.90, he wants 100%. Well, God, how much more time do you want to spend with me? And since I was reading that, God said, some of you are thinking that. And he said, but while you're spending time with me, your mind's on other things. You might be sitting in my presence, but you're still, your mind's on other things. And that's why you're not spending good quality time with him. Good quality time is whenever everything is nothing. You don't know of anything else but you and God. I was sitting at my desk the other day, and I just felt like I had to pray, so I put my hands in my face in my hands, and the kids were in the computer back of me, and the TV was on, and people were running in and out, but I just felt like I had to pray, so I just put my head in my hands, and I started praying, and my grandson came in and said, Mom, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm just praying. He said, oh, are you sure you're all right? I said, yeah. I said, I'm just praying. He said, well, what do you do, pray sitting up now? I said, honey, I pray sitting up, laying down, standing, doing anything, working. I said, I pray all the time. But I had been sick, and so he was concerned. But see, you have to be to the point, what I'm trying to get at here, you have to be to the point where you're so in tune to God that you know when you have to be drawn away. No matter what you're doing. And I was sitting there working on a lesson, and I just stopped and just started praying. I started crying, and God showed me some things that are going on in the world. But see, this is where you have to be so in tune to God that then you do spend good quality time with him. He can talk to you anytime he wants to. And you're listening. All right, God said, deep has been calling unto deep, but still you stand in shallow water. That water must be up over your head, or you are no good to me. And Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Now, deep calls unto deep. This phrase most often refers to a deep personal experience of the Lord ministering to them. From the depths of God's heart to the depths of their own. Now, let me stop there. One time God said to me, and you all know this, because I said, I'm going to put you in that river, and I'm going to put my foot in your head, and I'm going to keep it there until I drown you. And whenever he was telling me this other day, I said, all right, God, have you drowned me yet? If you haven't put my head in that water and drowned me, I want that to happen. I want to go so deep within you that nothing else matters. Are you listening here? Nothing else matters but you and your walk with God. God takes care of everything else. Ezekiel 47, verse 3, as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. See, in this, just think about yourselves. How deep are you in the water? He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. Are you in that river? Have you been drowned? I'm glad you're all quiet, because if you said yes, you'd be lying. I'd have to give you an F. Amen. Come on. And God said, you have your sights on the things of this world still, when I have asked you over and over again to take your eyes off the world and place them entirely upon me, the author and finisher of your life. And every one of us, including me, even though you try to keep your mind off the things of the world, you find yourself thinking about, I must say, you're thinking about your finances, thinking about your kids, thinking about the church. You know, you try to keep your mind on God, but in comes this little unfiltered area of your mind that wants to drag your mind back into the things that you have already given back to God. All right. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Do not love the world or anything in it, in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. All right, you know, it says the lust of the eyes, and you think about perversion, you know, pornography and all that kind of stuff, but how about gluttony? If you're sitting, you know, studying, and all you think about is you want something to eat. We've all been there. We're all guilty of that. And the other day, I thought, why is it, God, every time I sit down to study, first thing I think about is, I think I want to go get something to eat. I'm not even hungry. I mean, I don't do that. But, you know, that's the enemy trying to distract me from doing the things that I want to do. I don't know what your distraction is, but that's what he does to me. All right? All right, Romans 12, 2. Do not, well, that, okay, you know, when I'm doing my kids, you know, I homeschool them, and I get little Isaiah already on the computer, ready to do his homework. He's, wait a minute, he puts it on pause. I said, where are you going now? I have to get something to eat now, he said. So he runs and gets some chips. He comes back and does a little bit, and he puts on pause. I said, where are you going now? I got to get something to drink now. And I said, you weren't eating or drinking before I got you, called you to do your schoolwork. But that's just the way it is with him. As soon as he sits down and do schoolwork, he gets distracted by eating and drinking. It's no different than us when we're trying to do something with God. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for you. Look around you, God says. Right now, look around you and see the pitiful state of my body is still in. Even though I have instructed and instructed and instructed the body how to come up higher with me, they're still in a bad way. Isn't that the truth? The body has not yet conformed to the call of God on their lives. Revelation 4, 1 and 2 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, John was called out of the earth and proceeded upwards into heaven. This is what God, Revelations 4, 1 and 2 is what God has been trying to do with the church. How many times have he said to the Lighthouse Church, come up into the third heaven and sit with me, and sup with me, because I have things that I want to show you. But how many of us have gone up into the third heaven and sup with God so he can show us things? I want you to really think about that. You know, God has new revelation that he wants to reveal, just like he revealed to John. He has new revelation he wants to reveal right now. And the only way he can do that is to have a vessel that's willing to come up hither, go forward, come up hither, and hear what God has to say. Now, are you going to be one of those vessels? Are you going to be one of those vessels that God can speak to and say, come up hither, I have something I want to tell you, and I want you to take it back to the earth? Or are you too busy doing your mundane things and you're not hearing the voice of God? Some of you in here, you really need to set more quality time aside and seek God's face for the calling that he has upon your life. You pastors, if there's pastors in here, you need to spend more quality time with God and less time with the things of the world, because God has things that he wants to speak to you to reveal to your people, and he can't speak them if you're involved in the world. All right? So John was called out of the earth and proceeded upwards into heaven. And Genesis 26:12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. See this? Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. He started out great, but he became very great. Each one of you in here that you have a position in Christ, he wants you to become very great. And I'm hearing him say he wants you to become just like his son Jesus did. And really, if you think about Jesus, even his disciples didn't agree with him. His disciples fought with him, argued with him about different things that he said. And he was the Christ, you know. But they still thought they knew more than he did. And God showed me this the other day because I was fussing about something. And, you know, and so what did Jesus do? He decided, well, you disciples, you stay here. I'm going to go away. I'm going to be alone with the Father and I'm going to pray. Because you guys aren't helping me at all. You're messing me up. So I've got to be alone with the Father. And sometimes, you know, if you're in an organization or something, you just have to just forget about the organization and you have to set yourself apart with the Father and see what the Father's saying to you, not hearing what all the mouths are saying to you. I mean, I'm hearing God say he knows how to run an organization better than you do. All right. How many of you, if you're in an organization, people say, we can't do that. I know you can, but God can. You know, people, the pastors are, and you say to me, you just need to stop. You can't do the things you're doing. No, I can't, but God instructed me to do them, so I'm doing them, and they're working out fine, right? All right, if we look closely at this scripture, we will notice that Isaac became great because of God's blessing. But it didn't stop there. It then says, and went forward and grew until he became very great. First of all, it was God's blessing on his life. If you want God's blessing on your life, you're going to have to get out of your stupidity and out of your foolishness and out of the things of the world, and you're going to have to sell yourself out totally and completely to God and then go ahead and work with him. You know, I don't care what your friend's doing. Your friend's going to have to answer to God when they stand before God. You're not going to be able to answer for them. You're going to have to answer for yourself. Are you listening here? It's better to be shunned on this earth than it is to stand before the Father, and he's going to say to you, why did you listen to the other voices? Why did you shun my voice? Why did you do what they told you to do? All right? Isaac apparently was not satisfied with his initial blessing that already made him great. He went forward and grew until he became very great. Isaac apparently was not satisfied with his initial blessing that already made him great. He went forward and grew until he became very great. I'm not content with what God has done with me, and he's done a lot with me. I'm not content because I know there's something more that God wants to use me for. And so I'm not seeking anybody else's face about it. I'm seeking God's face continually about, okay, God, I want to move forward. I am right now, I'm stagnant. I've been doing the same thing for a long time. And I want to now go into the greater works that you're calling me to do. And I want to be a light that shines in a dark, dark world. How about you? How about you? Do you want your, is this Virginia? This is why God keeps talking about an organization. God wants this organization to grow. And he wants to use you to cause it to grow. And so you're just really going to have to get your feet, God, to get down to nitty gritty, put your feet on the rock and keep them there and just do what he's telling you to do. He says it's going to be some out of the ordinary things he's asking you to do, but do them because he wants to use you to bring a greatness into this aglow. All right? Come on. And he says, you have authority that you have not yet tapped into in Christ. And he says, as you tap into that authority, you know, God's going to move on your behalf. If I would listen to the people around, the pastors around here, I wouldn't even have a church. Come on. I have seen so many people's lives changed and rearranged. I've seen people start churches. I've seen a lot of things done because I stayed faithful to what God called me to do, and I didn't do what man wanted me to do. All right? You have to do the very same thing if you're going to move forward. And Barbara, you can't shirk your responsibility either. You've got to do what God's calling you forth to do. But in dignity, he's saying. Dignity. Come on. It's moving forward time. And Adel, there's a work that God wants you to do where you're at, and you're not yet doing it. God's going to be speaking to you because he wants you to move forward now. Where you're at, the area is all stuck in their mess, and there's a lot of slime there, and he wants to use you to break up that foundation of filth and to bring them into the glory of God. And you're not supposed to listen to their voices or look at their faces. You just do what God's telling you to do. All right. He said, get fortitude and just move forward. All right. Notice that Isaac began to grow when he went forward. You can't grow until you go forward. Isaac went from blessing to greatness. Then he went forward. He went beyond greatness to become very great. You know, God's told me he wants me now to go into the Catherine Kuhlman anointing, which he called me into when it first started. So you don't know how much I pray, and God, I'm ready. We need the Catherine Kuhlman anointing. She had a healing anointing. We need that. We need it desperately. Are you listening here? All right, the message here is quite simple. If an individual desires to become great, they must move forward. You must move forward. The Apostle Paul understood this principle when he said in Philippians 3:13, "No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be." We should be saying that. "But I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Paul knew that the only way to progress in his walk with the Lord was by moving forward. Exodus 14:15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." See, Moses was complaining to God, like I do. And he said, "You tell people to get, I'm telling y'all, go forward. I'm tired of your mud pot you're stuck in now. Go forward. I don't care what God's calling you to do. Go forward. Do the great mighty things that God's calling you forth to do." All right. I can't start your church for you. I can't run your organization for you, because God has placed you as the head of that thing, and he's speaking to you on how to do it. All right. In this passage, God had already given Israel deliverance from the Egyptians, and now they are headed toward the promised land after leaving Egypt. Suddenly they come to the Red Sea. The enemy is behind. They can't go the left or right. They can't go back. There was only one direction for them to go, and that was forward. That, I think God has some of us in that place. Our backs are against the wall. We can't go right or left, and all we can do now is go forward. Some of you are kicking against the pricks. God's saying, but he says, when you quit kicking, then he'll move you forward. Moses began to cry to the Lord, and God said, "What are you crying to me for? Tell Israel to go forward." But there was no apparent way to go forward. And see, that's where we're at. We can't, you know, there's a wall there. We can't see how we're going to go forward. There was no boats or bridges for them. They couldn't possibly swim across. But God said, go forward. See, the impossible. And when they did, God did something he had never done before, and Israel escaped on dry land. The unexpected happened when they began to move forward. There is only one way to move in the kingdom, and that is to move forward. You know, the sea didn't split until they started walking towards it. They had to move forward. They had to go to that towards that river and get down into that water, and then God split it wide open. This is what God wants to do to each one of us. He wants us to move forward and just go, you know. And as we, God told me when I first started, God said, "Everything you put your hand to do, I'll bless. I'll do it for you." So no matter what I did, trusting God, I don't care what I said or what I did, God always blessed it and God always did it. See, then I, through the years, I quit believing that. And so because I had no faith that God was going to do it, if I placed my hand to it, he didn't do it. Now I've had to repent and go and do, you know, work, do my works over again. And now I'm into the place where God can trust me again. And now whatever I place my hand to do, I know God's going to do it for me. So you have to come to that full head knowledge that God is with you. And whatever you put your hands to do, he will do it. He will accomplish it. But he needs you as a vessel to move forward, to start the thing going forward. When we move forward, the Lord will open the door. When we move forward, the Lord will open the door. In Joshua chapter 3, Israel came to another obstacle. The children of Israel found themselves at the brink of the water on the Jordan River. What did God tell them to do? Go forward. When we move forward, the Lord will open the door. God again split the waters. The Lord continuously allowed obstacle after obstacle to come before Israel and yet demanded they move forward. Virginia, how many obstacles is coming your way? Move forward. Barbara, how many obstacles are coming away the glow in Delaware? Move forward. There are some things we will never accomplish naturally. It will always take God to bring about the victory, but God demands obedience from us, obedience to move forward. You pastors in here from Baltimore, wherever you're from, you need to move forward. You need to get your eyes off the things of the past, and you just put your eyes on the kingdom of God and move forward. Make your people move forward with you. All right? You know what God's calling to do, then make your people line up. Get your favorite whip out. I have to get my favorite whip out every now and then and whip everybody into shape because they get stagnant and stale and they don't want to move. Or they want to do their own thing and they don't know what the thing is, but they want to do it anyhow. Come on. I bet you run into that too, right? And I know you do, Virginia, if you're over the people. All right. Now, we must, as we're moving forward, we must expect obstacles. Expect resistance, but we can't turn back. So God's word for us is simple. Move forward. The victory may come in one day, one phone call, one letter, one month, maybe even in one year. But we don't have the year anymore to wait. But if we give up, we won't get it. If you give up in your motorcycle ministry, you won't get it. You have to keep trusting and believing. You just don't know what day, what hour, what second God's going to place somebody in front of your path that's going to just start that motorcycle ministry, bust it wide open. You don't know that. And you can't doubt God. You can't say, oh, well, it must not, what am I doing wrong? You can't do none of that stuff. You just have to trust God. He said, you're going to have a motorcycle ministry. That's what you're going to have. See, I can't say, well, God, you know, I want to do something else. No, he has. Tonight I have a really good message that God put together about our destinies, but you know, we have to fulfill our destiny in Christ, not what we want to do. If you're trying to do it on your own, nothing will work out. You're always going to hit a brick wall. I'm going to tell you that right now. Sometimes God delays his answers to test us. God would always say to me, daughter, don't die in the wilderness. You know, when I was all these years I've been ministering and I'd be going to testing time, he'd always tell me, daughter, don't die in the wilderness. I'm here with you. I'm walking through this. And I found there was only one way to survive the wilderness, and that was to keep moving forward. Remember, I would tell you that God would say, daughter, don't die in the wilderness. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And one day I said, where's the end of the tunnel at? I mean, it was going on and on and on, you know, and it never ended. And then finally it did end. But I did say it to God, and I said, all right, where's the light at the end of the tunnel? I don't see it. And he kept saying, move forward. Just keep moving. Don't stop. I'm telling each one of you, you're going to hit the dark places. You're going to hit the wall many, many times. But you can't stop because the wall is there. You have to keep moving. God will remove that wall. God might be putting a wall in front of you because you're wanting to do something he doesn't want you to do, so he has to stop you dead in your tracks. All right? Keep walking in the last word God gave you until you receive another word. Hear that? Keep walking in the last word God gave you until you receive another word. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3 through 8, four lepers defeat an army after they decided to move forward. Let's look at this, 2 Kings 7, 3. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die?" You know, there's a war going on, and they couldn't go inside. Then they said, "If we stay, we'll go into the city. The famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." They're going to die anyhow. So they're saying, why not go ahead and do something? At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused them to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us." So the enemy got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. These men did not really stand a chance of survival. They were diseased and hungry, but they had a desire to live. They had a desire to be more than they were. So what did they do? They could not change the fact of their sickness, but they could change their surroundings. They decided to move forward. See this? There was no way they could help themselves. But they were sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they decided to move forward. Hey, we're dying here, so we might as well go ahead. I tell people, well, what are you going to lose? You know, if they want to say, want to ask somebody something, well, I'm afraid to ask them. What do you have to lose? If they said no, well, you didn't have anything anyhow, and you never know if they're going to say yes. So what do you have to lose? Move forward. Then God said, "The days of Noah are upon you, and time is running out speedily." And when I was first born again in 1977, God spoke to me. He said, "You are now living in the days of Noah." And here he said, "The days of Noah are upon you, and time is running out speedily." In Matthew 24:37, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So this is the age that we're living in right now. We are living in the age where we are making way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are living in the end days. And guys, God needs you to move forward. Need you to move forward. No matter what your situation is, you just can't stop. All right, you know, I see Virginia squishing around, so she must have a back problem or something. You know, I know somebody else in here has a back problem. And I was so sick Friday night that if it had been Saturday night, I wouldn't have been here this morning. And, you know, but I can't stop because of an infirmity in my body. God has given me a promise. He's told me exactly what he wants me to do. And if I sit here in my infirmity and all the pain and everything else that's in it, I'm not going to get what God wants to give me. I have to keep moving until God brings the healing. Are you understanding this? I mean, I'm a person who has God allowed to raise three men from the dead, one of them three times, and a dead dog. I'm a person who has seen miracle after miracle of healings take place. Just because God hasn't healed me right as of yet doesn't mean that I'm going to stop. I'm moving forward. And if I have to go myself, I'll go by myself. But I'm moving forward. And that's what should be your attitude. If I have to go alone, then I'm going to go it alone. But I'm going forward because I want to be far greater than what I am today. All right? Doesn't matter what your husband or wife or kids or anybody else says. It's your journey with God, not theirs. Now, I said your success depends upon your desire to move forward. We must move forward. There can never be a time or place in our lives that we stop moving forward. It is time to move from religion to relationship. Now, I know that everybody sitting in this room, there's a time when you just want to stop. You just want to sit down and quit because everything you did turned out bad. You know, and even though God told you to do it, it's still people come against you and all kind of things happen. But you didn't quit. You kept going. And that's one thing God's had me do ever since I began this work, is encourage people to don't quit. Keep going. When y'all know this, when I was younger, my father used to always say to me, when you're down, Barbie, he says, grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself up because nobody else will. He said, you get yourself back up and you keep going. And, you know, he taught me a lot of really neat things growing up. And this is what God is telling us too. Pick yourself back up. Keep moving. Don't stay down. And when you get up and start moving, don't act like you're a wounded pup. You know, if you pulled yourself back up and you're moving forward, then act like you're moving forward. Don't walk around like a little wounded pup with your head between your tail and or whatever. And you know, and act dumb. If we're a warrior. I had that song sung first of all. I want y'all to know you're a warrior. You are not some wimpy person that cannot do anything for God. You are a warrior. God's called you as a warrior. And he's calling you this morning to move forward and quit your dumb stuff and move forward. Get out of your mind and get the mind of Christ. Think the way God thinks. Look at your prophetic words. Do what God's told you you're going to do in your prophetic words. Because now is the season of the, I'm hearing God say, now is the season of the open doors. And he has flung the doors wide open for you to walk through and to do and progress and do the things that he's called you forth to do. Amen. God said, time is short, little ones. Time is so short. Take up your cross and follow me at all costs. Do you believe God or not? Are you going to move? See, each one of you are here for this sermon this morning. You didn't say, well, I'm just going to be there this morning. No, God made a way for you to be here this morning. Now, I want you to take this message about moving forward, and I want you to take it to all that you meet and tell them they have to move forward. We all have family members who are stuck, don't we? Well, we have to, if you can't tell them to move forward, then pray. God, set a fire underneath and make them move forward. But do whatever you have to do to make people move forward. The enemy is at us, after us, hot and heavy. And if we stand still, he's going to run us over.